Major Notley, Reel 13. Who was your sort of rear link? Who did you report to up your own chain of command?
Headquarters, the mayor. We were independent again. There was a Gurkha division out there, and we had very little to do with it, although we did have a Gurkha unit under us at one time. We had all sorts of things. We had, I think, three Germans under us, which we
Did this create complications with rationing? Because I understand that...
Yes, there was. I mean, quite a lot, I remember rightly. And I always remember the Fijians had this extraordinary cutaway skirt in... kind of chopped up skirts. And they were pretty tough guys with a lot of hair. Didn't have haircuts, I agree. British troops did.
How did you get on with them?
They were all right, yes, I think they were fine. Remember, I was on the Jew side and had less to do directly with the Jews. But I was talking about Wardibern Camp, which was the Queensland Oil Works Kent. And Princess Marina came out with Eddie, and they had a dinner or lunch. I wasn't invited, but they had a lunch party. And there was a sort of dog leg in the mess. And round the dog leg was Eddie. And he was asked what he'd like to drink. He said, if Mum isn't here, I'd like champagne.
I mean, would it be the case that on this rationing business that each of the battalions required a different... type of rash?
Yes, I think so. Gurkhas obviously, I mean, hand rice, and they wouldn't tackle that. And
What about Nigerians? What was their staple?
Oh, the KAR. I can't remember what they had. They weren't savage in detail.
And the Fijians, did they have a particular diet they had to keep to?
You know, I read it yet, and I could romanticise on it, but just cannot remember.
What about the Malays? Do they ring a bell?
They had rice, very much the same as the Gurkhas. Yeah.
And the British rations, were they similar to the wartime?
They were rather on the compost side, and they were the standard. But remember when you had a camp, which was normally supplied with everything direct. And it was only when they went out in the jungle that they had this compilation. I don't know whether I should diversify here, but Lady Mount Batten came out.
Edwina.
Now, she did what she wanted. There was no question about whether she was allowed to do a thing.
What sort of things did she want to do then? That
she got into a jeep. She went right up into the jungle, somebody's camp, you know, without telling anybody. And of course, it was extremely bad luck. The Suffolk Regiment, I think, were involved with it. But she got away with it. But she might have not.
I was going to ask you what the security situation was when you were there, when you arrived.
Very strict security on there.
Had things changed at all by the time you finished your tour in Malaya?
Well, I think what brought on the security is when Gurney was murdered, because I went out just after he was murdered, and I think that really hyped up the thing. And then Templar came out, you see, and he got things moving. You didn't argue with him.
Did you notice any change when he arrived?
Oh, yes. I think he had a very good assistant who became a general. I can't remember his name. He was a Queen's officer. A very good chap. I can't remember his name. He was well known. But if you didn't feel told to do something, you got on with it, no matter who you were.
Did you ever have any direct contact with Templar?
Yes, I went to a dance, a New Year's dance, and this was held at Government House, King's House, where the temple was, and Huey Stockwell was our general, and they had this New Year dance where they had the old man time, and they had the baby coming in, and the old father time was temple, and then pushing Stockwell in a pram so that the come with thing the babies have.
A dummy.
A dummy. Mm. It will be fun. Mm. Then I met Templar after the war, went to Ireland, because we had mutual friends, and travelled out crossing from Fishguard to Rosslare. He hadn't been going out to stay with these people. And the people I was going to see had been, the father had been a company commander in World War I, the temple was in his company, so you know, it was rather question of an interesting experience. I found it very easy to talk to, but it wasn't very easy when it was official.
So he made a distinction between being on duty and off duty?
Oh yes. Mm-hmm. It was quite good fun off duty. Mm-hmm. I had breakfast with him in the boat going over, and you know, it was just nice to talk to him in the ordinary way.
Had you ever met him before then?
Not long there, no. Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned that there were very strict security precautions. What sort of precautions? Could you say what measures you had to take, which were extraordinary to maintain security?
Well, I think they had patrols around barracks anywhere where the army were. And the trouble was, really, they had these villages where the terrorists had sort of infiltrated. And then they had to sort of try and get intelligence people in there. I think it was a difficult situation because a lot of these people were unknown, and the intelligence people, for intelligence reasons, and the intelligence knew about them. But there was quite a lot of that went on. There was a chap out there who, I think his name was Hunt, who, I suppose he was doing an intelligence job, but he lived with the little people in the jungle, trying to remember their names. They weren't Daleks, because they came from Borneo.
Sakai.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think this chap was killed because he fell into a pig trap. Mm-hmm. He said, and spiked himself. But he was quite well known, he was called Hunt. Mm-hmm. But it was a set, I'm quite right, yes.
Did these security precautions affect your family as well as yourself?
It was quite interesting, yes. my wife used to do a bit of riding in those days, and she would go riding and come across a patrol which was trying to hide itself in Gurney Road, which is where we families were, and near the bottom there. And the patrol were always bloody cross if you spotted them, trying to look after them.
But she was all right. She was allowed to go out riding.
I don't remember any trouble in the headquarters, except from soldiers who stole them. Jeff was stealing from another house next to ours, and I was changing or something. I saw this Jeff pulling the wire that you have, you know, trying to get into the next quarter. So I went out. I had a bayonet or something. I went out with a bayonet and got this Jeff and shot him in the loo and hang up. And I found he was a member of our signal section. Young chap called John Lamb, and he sent a jeep round and took the chap away. But that was sort of a the soldier been thieving.
Do you know if he was a regular soldier or
he was a
conscript?
He was a soldier. I don't know. I think probably a conscript, I think.
Mm. Did you have anything to do with the arrival and departure of drafts for the brigade? Is that within your field of duty?
No, I don't really remember much about that. I do remember going to see the Suffolk Regiment draft from Singapore. They went in a liner called the Majestic. I think she was still trooping. And the extraordinary thing was that as I was standing looking up and there troops going off, there was a porthole, this is true, and a chap said, "How are you, sir?" It was my batman, who was with me at the casino, who was a cook. there he was a cook in his ship. I'm trying to think what his name was. But anyway, that it's very strange.
Remarkable coincidence.
Yes, yeah.
Did you have a sort of routine working day when you were on this staff? Was it a...
Yes, it was.
What sort of working routine did you have?
Well, I think
day by day?
We started about 8 in the morning and we went on till about 4 or 5. A break for lunch. We tried to play games, but very often when there starts to rain in the evening, when you want to play tennis or squash. I did play squash with the brigade major and always won because he had glasses, and in that heat it gets steamed up, so I used to always beat him at squash.
It sounds like an unfair advantage.
Tennis was, we had very good tennis courts at this club, the Lake Club, which was very near where we lived.
What other recreational facilities were there in Malaya? Could you go sightseeing or find other entertainments besides?
Not really. We used to bathe. We used to go off down the coast to Port Dickson on a Sunday. And Brigadier and I, and the BN sometimes, and we used to go to where the dikes, the people from Borneo, dikes, were trained. And quite interesting, because they came for about 2-3 months only, each drop. And at the end of the time, they were given money, or they wanted an outboard motorboat or a shotgun. Very often you try to keep them from taking a shotgun because they probably go and shoot something out in Borneo because they were quite keen on heads and that sort of thing. So that was interesting. There was a Brigadier André out there. And then the Naro, I think the father of Colonel Santa. He was out there. He was responsible for getting these chaps and getting them trained. And he does at Port Dickson.
What sort of training were they doing? Did you happen to know what their syllabus was, what their program was?
Well, I think they were trained anyway as tracks and jungles, and probably just to get them acclimatized and kitted out before they went off to their unit.
Did you have them in the infantry brigade, the 18th infantry brigade?
Yeah. Mm.
Have you an idea roughly how many you had? And were they attached to battalions,
yes,
or were they?
Yes, they were. I wouldn't have thought that more on about, on a company basis, 5 or 6 body battalion.
But when you were working, you know, during the working, were you tied to your office, or were you able to get out and about in the brigade and see people on the ground?
Yes. So I had a staff car, always go walking, and wasn't as good as having a jeep. And I used to call on the Somerset, because I was light infantry, so I knew them pretty well. The second in command of the chap called Freddie de Butts. Has anyone ever heard of Freddie de Butts?
Heard the name.
He wrote a book all about his career in the army. Somebody lent it to me, I didn't have to buy it. It's an expensive book. But he did extremely well, and he was a real completely dedicated soldier. Not much fun, really. Very little sense of humour, but I have to go out that soldier. So he was twice used against them.
Did you see much of the Gurkhas? Did you go visiting them? Because they have a sort of light infantry connection, don't they?
Yes, there was a chap called Charles Howard, who had been an army officer in England when the battalion was at Starside Aldershot. When we came back from Greece, we went to this training depot, and Charles Howard was an army officer. He was a Somerset, a bachelor. A very good soldier, he came to the Major General, in fact. And he went to Outward Bound as when he retired, he never married, and died, I think, at Turin. But a very dedicated chap, and a dog, he had his dog, and that was his life. He was a very difficult army officer because he lived in the barracks, and we married most of us. The country was a bit out, we knew more about what's going on than you did. We should remember soldiers used to pinch plugs and chains out of bases, and this was really not allowed because they wanted them for with their waistcoats to have a little problem with the thing.
Sounds a very unusual fashion item. This was the Gurkha soldiers, or
no, these are
British soldiers.
Yeah.
Was the brigade much troubled by terrorist activity while you were with them? Do you know if there was a high level of activity by the communist terrorists, or whether things were reasonably quiet in the brigade area?
I think the Suffolks had a very rough time, and they did very well, and there wasn't quite a lot, but I think they got on top of it. And the people who took over had an easier time. I really don't think I can say much more than that.
I mean, did you have any consciousness of being in action or under threat while you were on the headquarters staff? Did it impinge on you at all?
No. Not very.
How long were you actually there? Because I think you arrived and left in the same year, as far as I can tell.
I must have been more than... I would have thought 2 years. 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been 2 years.
I mean, were you there the whole time, or did you manage to get away at all and go travelling?
Oh, on leave. Mm-hmm. Not really. We went down to Singapore with my uncle and aunt and there. And we did, yes, we did, we went to Penang. A lovely place. We went to Butterworth in Penang. We did have them. And that was very nice because it's Penang Island is a lovely place. There's a story which I have told you that we had to do administrative inspections of battalions, and they used to go, battalion would go up to Penang for this sort of thing. Sounds rather odd, but basically, one went and did this inspection in Penang, miles away from Kuala Lumpur. And the brigadier and I used to do that. And he'd learned Malay on the way out on a boat. And he got muddled up over Chucha and Chicha, I think the words were. One meant to arm and the other meant to wash. So he went to this hotel and he'd given the order to wash the stuff but not to iron it. So morning after inspection, the kit was hanging up. And we had to sort of borrow a kit from it subsequently.
So it was all hanging out to dry.
It's his fault for that. Took it awfully well.
Did you have much contact with the local population, with the Malays?
No, I trademarked with them. We had friends, English friends out there, who were very much tied up in Malays. But not really. I had a friend in the bank, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank, the comprador, who knew my uncle very well. He was Hong Kong Shanghai Bank down in Korea. And one used to go to these awful meals that the Chinese gave.
What was awful about them?
You had to drink whiskey, meat, and the thing was yam seng, and then you filled your glass up, and you were supposed to down it, you know, just like that. Fortunately, I think there was a potted fern fairly in the milk part of it, but I mean, it was absolute hell. And if you didn't do it, you were a very bad guest. No, they were awful.
The Chinese feasts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What sort of occasions would they hold those?
Oh, I think there were plenty of feast days. I did go to one purely because the comprador knew my uncle very well. Comprador was a chief cashier chap. He wasn't an officer exactly, but he was a great character. Fond of his name now.
Did you have any locally recruited civilians working in the brigade headquarters? Locally recruited civilians?
Yes, I think there were, yeah.
What sort of jobs are they doing?
I think they're on intelligence. I can't say I remember very much about them. I do know the IO, a chap called Kent, and VM work very close together.
What about your staff? Did you have any locally recruited?
No, I don't think I did. No.
Now you mentioned you had a staff captain, a Brasco, a Bowwow, and a Remy.
I had a chap called Thompson, Guy Thompson, who was staff captain A.
Yeah.
Worked under me.
I mean, did you have any other ranks, or were you all officers in your section?
I think we were all officers. With Bowwow. No, we were all officers.
Did you have regular meetings of the staff, like morning prayers or anything like that?
Lingardère used to have meetings, yes. I didn't have my own meetings in particular, but I used to attend his meetings.
Well, I mean, did they happen on a regular basis, or were they
pretty
arranged?
Regular, yes. Yeah, this is quite apart from the upside, morning prayers, which was
indeed
morning prayers, and that was attended by the Brigadier, the IO, and the BN.
What sort of things did the Brigadier discuss or brief him on when he had his meetings?
Moves, possibly, and op situation was given rather broadly for information of the staff, like myself.
How often did those happen? Were they every day or
week?
Or
probably every week. I think.
What sort of style did the Brigadier adopt? Was it a very formal type of meeting, or was it informal and relaxed?
He was a brilliant chap. He looked at Bill Lambert, who was making quite amusing, and yet he meant what he said. I mean, if you caught a sleep, he would catch your eye very quickly. But he was an amusing chap. He would say, give your reasons in writing and draw a diagram, sort of thing. He was a very good leader. To say we got him upgraded to major general.
You said that you thought the Malays were fairly idle. Was this just the Malay regiment, or was this the Malays as a whole?
Malays as a whole, really. I think, I mean, the Malay really is quite happy to sit and fish on the coast. He doesn't want any work.
What about the other populations, the Chinese and the
Indians? They're the right here. The Chinese were the Malayan Chinese. They have all the gold and and everything. Then, of course, you have the tappers, the tanners, who used to tap water. And we had a chap who cut the grass called a kaboom in our house. And he had a panga, and he used to go around cutting the grass with a mowing machine. And we had quite a staff.
Who did you have on your staff?
And my personal staff at home, we had a Chinese cook and an armor. Cook did a bit of the work, the armor did all the work. Chen Sai and Tan Yu. Chen Sai was the cook, and Tan Yu was called Inga. He used to shout Inga, and then she came and did something. I don't know what the cook did with her, but she was there. And she took after the children. I don't think we had parts on the chap to cut the grass. We didn't have an ayah. I think she was the looked after the kids. They weren't babies then, they were quite small, but they were moving around a bit. We had a very nice bungalow, very comfortable. Harry and so on.
Was this a government quarter?
Yeah, government quarter, yeah.
How much warning did you have of your next posting, which I think was Jamaica?
Yeah. Well, there were problems about that because you may remember there was a comet plane which was shot or sunk or something. And all my letters and things to Mariosa. When I'd be available. Some of them arrived wet, and some didn't arrive at all. And there was also a fire, the Empire Windrush round about then, called fire, so there were various troubles with the communications. I was obviously looking forward to going from there, a nice posting to go to Jamaica from now. But of course, then Jill had her operation in England, and we were delayed.
So when did you come back to England? Was that...
I came back to England in my last job, which was Brigade Major, 106th Brigade, and about... I retired in 59, about 57.
Because I'm thinking about... Did you... When you moved from Malaya, did you go back to England and then on to Jamaica? You
didn't we went to Jamaica.
You went to Jamaica direct?
Yes. Yeah. Except... The consul was ill. I had a sort of indefinite leave, which was fit enough to come out, so we went out together. Very interesting journey. We flew in, I don't know what these planes were, but they were enormous, great sort of flying boat things. Where the luggage rack was, the whole family could get in. So I got in with Jill and the children, and the troops slept in the seats more or less, if you can. We had a bar on the belly. There was a Cornish contingent going out, and the Cornishmen thoroughly enjoyed champagne, everything was free.
Was this a commercial aircraft, or doesn't sound military?
It was hard, rather like the troopers came in.
Where did you fly from?
I think we went from Heathrow. They weren't flying boats, so they had wheels, but we went from Heathrow, I think. It was just one airport.
And how many soldiers were going out? Was the plane full up?
It was. Some of them left watch, I don't know what they were doing. I think they were going to Belize. But we had the Cornish contingent, and they had enjoyed the journey.
So you'd had between Malaya and Jamaica, you had an interval in London while Jill was having her operation.
Probably no way it was. Hand Post Corner, meeting you. We had a house there near my father-in-law, who was alive then. We had an estate called Wildcroft. And we had this little house not far from Wellington, on the centre.
So you were there for a while,
yes,
and then
well,
and you were on leave while that was going on, and then you went out to Jamaica. But I mean, when did you know that your next posting was going to be Jamaica? How long before the end of your time in Malaya did you know where you were going?
I I knew I was going back to the battalion, yeah, and I had plenty of notice, yeah. Mm.